This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. It is day one of the NFL draft this evening. You'll be able to hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Starting at 7 is when you will get the picks. 6 o'clock is when Texas radio starts getting you hyped and ready for the NFL draft. But all sorts of things moving and shaking as probably the second biggest singular event on the NFL calendar gets ready to descend upon us. Actually, descend upon Green Bay, Wisconsin, to be specific in the location. Hey, John Lopez, who is the player, like the single player that probably has been most attached, or do you feel like has been the most attached to the Texans?
That would be the one that we just mentioned, probably Kelvin Banks Jr., I would say.
I think that that's right. Like, it does feel like that's the case. I know that early on, it's kind of funny watching the you know, trend that it took over the course of this draft season, because it felt like earlier was a lot of Egbuka. We definitely saw some Kelvin Banks pop up.
That was
up
early
there.
Too, yeah.
It was relatively early. Where else did we get to? We got a lot of Tyler Booker, and that's kind
of
happened.
Got a lot of Gray Zabel.
Gray Zabel definitely happened relatively early a lot, especially very soon thereafter
Senior Bowl.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of that. But Kelvin Banks still feels like he falls in there. And to that end, I mean, Daniel Jeremiah, a man who was very well respected, very tapped in, of NFL Network. This was what he said as relates to the Texans and Kelvin Banks Jr.
But what if they added Emeka Ubuka?
CJ Stroud might have something to say about that. I don't know. CJ would like, I would like to be a little better protected than I was last year, but I wouldn't mind throwing to my friend in Emeka Ubuka.
I think you need for them.
Yeah, I think I would have to take Banks. I have a little higher grade on Ubuka. It's close, but I don't see how they leave that round without an offensive lineman. So I'm going to go offensive lineman.
Okay.
I was told the Houston Texans will not pass on Banks if he was there.
That's the part. Now that whole setup that was on Mina Kimes' show, they were doing what she calls a mock war room, where she gives these various draft scouts two players and makes them decide for the team. Obviously he selected Banks over Egbuka. But the reason why I brought that up, that happened, I think last week, is that according to some reports, and especially, actually, according to Vegas, which you can decide how much you value their opinions here, whether they're guessing or whether they have insight of some sort.
Yeah.
A late shift in the betting odds suggests that the Texas offensive tackle, not yet Texans, we'll see, Kelvin Banks Jr. could
be land in there.
Could go to the Raiders with the 6th overall pick, which is much higher, much. In fact, that would be, in theory, that would probably be above where Armand Membu would go, a tackle that had been considered one of the two best tackles with him and Will Campbell. And some people like Membu more because he has longer arms compared to Will Campbell, who has shorter arms. And yet and still, Kelvin Banks could go as high as 6 as a guy that reports have as the Texans' probably favorite offensive lineman or what have you.
Yeah, you know, and I mentioned, you know, when we were talking about Nick Caserio's sort of DNA, his draft DNA, that he's want to move up in the draft and get a player from an SEC, and we kind of landed on Kelvin Banks as one of the likely ones. They can't get that high. They really don't want to, I should say, give up that much to get up to number 6, number 8, number 10, whatever, somewhere in there.
I can't imagine.
So that's why if he goes there, and he could well. The Raiders have been all over the place in terms of, you know, projections and stuff, but, you know, a left tackle like that, that would be a huge building block.
Yeah, and that's that. I think that that's maybe where you see, you know, obviously Nick Caserio doing his due diligence to look at what's happening above him, mm-hmm. but maybe that ends up being an inspiration for moving up, because if you've got Kelvin Banks yeah. going that early, again, we might be seeing a potential run on offensive linemen.
Yeah, it might
linemen.
Trigger them to move up somewhere else.
You know? I mean, maybe to get a guy that they like. It mm-hmm. still feels like there's a lot of guys that, you know, in that offensive line group that seem like they could fit within the mm-hmm. parameters that the Texans have culture-wise, but then also that play a good brand of football that mm-hmm. you know, maybe they could stick a pick or at least maybe not have to go up nearly as high. Some other scuttlebutt happening from newsmakers. This is according to Tom Pelissero. Tom Pelissero says that the Panthers, who currently sit at number 8, are making calls about moving down.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that allows that they're allowed to kind of do that, or they have the freedom to do that in some ways because they just need so many different players that they're not necessarily yeah. locked in on, hey, we need this certain player. And then that they, if they move back, they could probably still address one of those needs because you have so many of them and garner a bigger pool of talent. And that would be right before number 9, where the Saints could get a, where in theory could get a quarterback, considering that they still don't have any clarity with Derek Carr. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, Mickey Loomis says that they're not, that's not going to impact their draft, but you know, I'm not certain that that's the case, but that maybe can mean that you're seeing some more action on the trade up in various different ways as well.
Yeah, I think the Jets at 7 and the Panthers at 8 are a couple of teams that are primed to just start accumulating picks. You know, you look at the top of the draft, I think we're sure the top three teams are going to pretty much stay where they are in draft. You know, obviously Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter. But after that, maybe the Patriots might be moving. You know, I'm always interested in this. I'm glad you brought it up. Like, which teams figure to gain the most? The young they're not in the same place as the Texans. They're not in win-now mode. They need picks, and a lot of them. Gain the most by playing one team against the other.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots might be there, but certainly I think the Jets and the Panthers are there. So if they know that the Saints are looking for a quarterback, somebody else is looking for that quarterback, they're going to get a lot of picks.
All that speaks to something that Tom Pelissero kind of iterated or reiterated in some ways on Good Morning Football this morning.
This is the most unpredictable draft that I can remember in terms of teams not really having a good feel, not just down at the bottom of round one, in like the middle or just outside the top 10.
Tom, do you say that to all the drafts? Do we say that every year? Is it really different?
We don't. In a normal draft, there'd be teams would have 18, 20, 22 first-round grades on players. This year you talk to teams, just like 8, 10, 12 blue-chip type players. And then there's this big clump of, depending what team, 20 or 30 guys who all could come off the board in different orders. And nobody quite knows exactly where the runs are going to come at different positions.
That's absolutely right. And I think you and I both agree on that. You know, most people agree on that, that it's going to be a top-heavy draft in terms of blue-chippers, as he put it. But that means that there's going to be a team out there that falls in love with a certain player that is in that sweet spot that's going to want to move up and make sure they get him.
Yeah. So that I think all that uncertainty in some ways makes it really tough. That's where it's really tough when you're later on in the pick or in the draft, because if you had some certainty on how it would fall, it gives you a little bit of clarity. And I think that is why I don't disagree by any means with the, you know, reporting that the Texans have called around about moving up. Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
He seems to be very diligent in his work, and I would expect him to have sussed out all the various different possibilities. I don't know that I have a level of certainty, even with the history that he displays, even with the you know, capital that he has and the assets that he has at his disposal, that a move up is definitely in the cards for him, at least when it comes to from 25.
I think it's more than likely. I think it's a 60 to 70% chance. It's just the way he is. And like every, I mean, he's human, even though, you know, he kind of comes across as a cyborg sometimes, but he's human. He and his staff have a player or two or five that they really like, but a particular player that is going to be right there that maybe drops a little bit. I could absolutely see him move up.
Do you have like a top three targets that you're looking for the Texans?
I think they're going to draft a wide receiver. I haven't moved off of that in a long time.
Wide receiver is an interesting one because of the way that the wide receiver, you know, stack is, you know, looking. You kind of take Travis Hunter out of this, even though he's probably the best wide receiver. You have McMillan, you have Egbuka, you have Golden. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, who are you really looking at? And that feels like that's a tough space. I guess if you were looking at wide receiver, then I could absolutely see you saying, hey, we kind of need to move up in order to get
I don't have any intel. It's the old gut feeling, you know.
The gut got going.
Everybody's saying offensive lineman. I could easily see them drafting an offensive lineman. It clearly is a need. I just keep going back to logic and, you know, what they need and the offense and needing another target for him. And I literally just said that his DNA says he's going to move up and try to pick Kelvin Banks. Like, that's what his DNA says. But his DNA also says that he's prone to make a rather shocking move up for someone. You know, and I think that might be wide receiver.
Okay. Some other things that are going around the NFL. Diana Russini of The Athletic reported earlier today that the Browns, Giants, and Patriots, as you mentioned the Patriots a little bit, have all received trade calls about picks number 2 through 4, mm-hmm. which is kind of crazy because those are the spaces that it felt pretty solid. It felt like the Browns were at a place where they're locked in. And receiving calls does not mean that they will inherently absolutely move back.
Yeah.
But it feels like the Browns are largely locked in on the prospect of adding Travis Hunter to their roster, playing a majority of wide receiver and working in cornerback stuff, and then that would leave the Giants to take Abdul Carter. Except now there's a possibility that maybe one of those teams trades out.
I'd be shocked if the top three is not. I feel like the draft is going to start at pick 4. I think the top three are going to be the obvious ones that you just mentioned. I think, but I mean, taking calls, as you said, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make a move. But if somebody really, really goes nuts, then maybe you change.
I mean, do you see somebody making a call to try to get Travis Hunter though?
Maybe, like I said, but they're going to have to really come in with all kinds of big time equity. I think the draft is going to start at pick 4. That's just me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I just don't see anybody trying to move all the way up to 2 for Travis.
But if you get that Nick Caserio move up to 3. You know, for Will Anderson, I mean, for who went 3rd? I forget. It was Will Anderson.
Yep.
Then, you know, if somebody really gives you a lot.
Yeah, but this, I mean, we ain't talking about no quarterback or nothing, man. Yeah. I just don't see it, man.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, with all that being the case, just wanted to point to all the movings and shakings. Could this be a moving or shaking itself? Because within the draft day, we talk about trades, and yes, sometimes it's picks, but sometimes people trade for players.
Yes, they do.
We talked about the likes of like Evan Neal, Kayshon Booty, who's still kind of an interesting guy out there that maybe could be trade targets. I'm not saying specifically for the Texans because I don't think that he fits the swarm mentality. Mm-hmm. However, do you believe at all that there's some smoke or there's some fire to this smoke here? Apparently, wide receiver George Pickens has unfollowed the Steelers' Instagram.
Oh, boy.
And he's been a part of trade rumors. Do you think that we can see George Pickens on a new team at least over this by the time this weekend is over?
I do. But what would the compensation be? It would be low, wouldn't it?
Relative. I mean, he is a good player, but that knucklehead nature that he has in there.
Maybe a 3rd or 4th.
I was thinking 5th.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know.
You know, goes to a team, new start, all that jazz. But I wouldn't give more than a 5th for him, would you?
No.
Yeah.
No, and he's an incredibly talented player. That's the tough part. Mm-hmm. Also, I do wonder, like, how valuable do you view a guy who kind of exists as jump ball guy?
Oh, I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of value. I think coaches, offensive coordinators, I mean, you every team has that guy. Oh, he's a good red zone guy. Oh, he's a good – the Texans have him, you know. He's a good red zone. No, I think that there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah.
How would you feel if he go to the Chiefs?
Not good.
That tone changed a lot.
Not good.
I mean, yeah, you don't want to give them any more weapons. However, at the same time, the last few times they've gotten some knuckleheads in there, it hasn't really entirely gone the way that they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I'd be entirely afraid of
them. They'll probably still get to the Super Bowl, probably.
Yeah. They have some moving and shaking on their offensive line, the Chiefs have. So, I mean, look, we've seen the importance of an offensive line, particularly with the Chiefs themselves. So I do wonder how that falls for them. Real quick, I did want to get to, and of course, it left me as soon as I wanted to go there, but I did want to get to some bold predictions for this NFL draft that's happening tonight. And you hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. But NFL.com put out some bold predictions for week 1 or for night 1 of the NFL draft. And I want wanted to kind of get your feel on whether you agreed with any of these or not. First and foremost, Ashton Jeanty picked before number six.
Ooh.
So it feels like the real place that you have Raiders. An opportunity there is five with the Jacksonville Jaguars, as there's been a little bit of heat there.
I'm going to say no. I think he's got Raiders written over him. Raiders are six, right?
Yes, they are six. Yeah. Okay, so you've got Raiders. At least seven edge rushers drafted in the first round between Abdul Carter, Jalen Walker, Mykal Williams. Those seem like the easy ones. Mike Green. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the Donovan Ezeraku and James Pierce is where you start getting kind of interesting.
That's a bit much. I'm going to go that's off.
Okay. And then despite the speculation of three quarterbacks, bold take, you only get two quarterbacks in the first round.
Oh, I'm in with that. I think the two quarterbacks are going to be Cam Ward and Jackson Dart.
Mm. Where you got Jackson Dart falling?
You
don't know who, but you're just like, you think somebody.
No, I don't know who, but there are teams that I think might move up. That might be one of those things hopping the Saints.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. From the 281, when they're talking about players being traded and acquired, Jameson Williams has the speed to take the top off. That's a guy who's out there who seems like he might be gettable in a draft day trade as well. A lot of things to watch on this NFL night one for night one of the NFL draft. And there's a lot of coverage of it right here on Sports Radio 610. You'll be live right here, live and local, starting at 6 with Texas Radio and then into the NFL draft round one right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's keep going with draft talk. Let's do our last chance really at doing an NFL mock draft check-in.
The final mocks are in.
Let's see what the final mocks are telling us about the possibility of what your Texans do. We'll do that next. Getting ready, getting the juices flowing for round one of the NFL draft. You probably just heard that promo about making sure that you keep it locked right here to Sports Radio 610, because all the way through, whether it's the Steelers on the clock or the Raiders or the Ravens or what have you. Actually, maybe not the Ravens, because the Ravens are slotted after 25. And if the Texans stick and pick, then I have a feeling that we might be talking about we might not be talking as much about what the Ravens are doing. We're talking about the Texans and maybe getting some audio of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
With the player that they may have selected in that moment. But let's get a feel for who the players are that the final mocks have the Texans selecting. A final mock draft check-in before the first round of the NFL draft. And one of the things that I found interesting is as I've checked mock drafts, even as trades have happened more and more in some of these mock drafts, I never see these national perspectives having the Texans trade up. And it makes you wonder how many of them actually know Nick's kind of general MO, or if they're just not hearing. Well, that's not even true, because
they are hearing
there's calls being made, but still none of them are translating into what the mock drafts look like. And maybe it's the idea that a mock draft can only simulate but so much of the chaos that is an NFL first round, especially when you have not had trades to this point.
Yeah.
And with all of these guys kind of being somewhat similar on caliber, but also just kind of being a matter of taste. But still, a lot of guys still having the Texans pick at 25. Is that what you're seeing in this mock draft roundup?
Largely, yes. I have six mock drafts that have been posted, the six final mock drafts by various reputable.
Do you want to power rank the mock drafts here?
We can.
Let's see who is doing the mock draft that you enjoy the most for your Texans. 713-572-4610. We begin the bidding with Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report. A couple of interesting things about the Bleacher Report before we get to the Texans pick.
Yes.
They have Tet McMillan dropping to 18 in Seattle.
That is really, that's very possible within this. That's one of the things I'm interested to see is how much did the testing turn some teams off from Tetaro McMillan, who is, maybe not the fastest guy, but big, great 50-50 ball winner, like catches the ball incredibly well. And seems like, I was looking at him in some of the people that I trust that are draft experts, second wide receiver after Travis Hunter, right?
Yeah.
And so seeing if maybe some teams don't view or a lot of teams don't value him in that same way and he drops would be very interesting.
They also have Ashton Jeanty going to the Jacksonville Jaguars at 5. But let's focus on the Texans' final mock draft, all right? At the Bleacher Report final mock draft has the Houston Texans drafting Josh Connerly Jr. from Oregon, the tackle. And you're going to say, well, who else might have been available?
Yes.
Mason Taylor, the tight end, was available.
Okay. And how do you feel about tight end? Like, are you so open to it that you would go to Mason Taylor? Mason Taylor's a guy that, you know, low key that people like, but it still feels like this is a two tight end class at the very top if you're talking about like the high end talent. Yeah. And it is Tyler Warren, especially if you want a guy that I have kind of likened in my brain, and I know I hate player comps, and here I come giving you with something that's kind of similar, but I'll tell you exactly why.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham, especially because it feels like he's the type of tight end that is so good that you kind of, if you want to get your value, build around him, almost Brock Bowers-like, where you saw last year with the Ravens before Davante Adams left, that you weren't kind of getting the squeeze that you wanted out of him. Davante Adams leaves and they can kind of focus their offense on Brock Bowers, and now it's like, oh, okay, we see the benefit. Yeah. Tyler Warren strikes me more like that compared to Colston Loveland, who is more of a traditional tight end as you would typically see drafted.
How does this grab you? Matthew Golden was available. They have Matthew Golden going 29 to the Washington Commanders.
Ah, that gets rough, especially for the folks who really like, he's a speedy wide receiver. He seems to do the things that you would really want. He seems to be infatuated with the city and the Houston Texans as a football club. I think I would actually be a little disappointed as a dude
who has been,
I like Josh Connerly a lot. I think there's a lot of upside within what he does. I think he gives you an opportunity to start building towards what your offensive line looks like in the next couple of years. I think I might have bought in enough to the idea that, hey, get you a talented wide receiver. But man, I think that there'd be a lot of complaining, probably the most complaining of a pick.
Hold that thought.
All right. Hold on
to your hat, Figgy.
Where are we going next?
Going number 31 overall, Josh Simmons.
Good. I'm okay.
To the Kansas City Chiefs.
Fine with it. You can't control everything.
And at number 32, Emeka Ebuka.
Yeah.
To the Philadelphia Eagles.
That makes sense. That's fine.
At 32 all right. overall.
Who do we turn to next?
We're going to Albert Breer.
Sports Illustrated.
This is his final mock draft, and we've got Josh Connerly going to the Houston Texans at 25 overall. So there seems to be at least early a trend for that.
Okay.
Ebuka would still be on the board. And that's probably about the main ones of the guys that would be on there. One of my favorites.
Before you move on from Albert Breer, can you give me a quick
top of
quick
the draft
look at specifically linemen? Like, I'm interested in saying, are we seeing runs on offensive linemen? Because that's what it seems like is kind of becoming the thing. I'm guessing at four, you probably have Will Campbell.
Will Campbell is four. Ashton Jeanty also five to Jacksonville.
So they have Kelvin Banks going six
to the Raiders.
Okay, and then Membu at seven. So you're seeing some of those tackles go early enough to where you're losing some of the potential
Golden
guys.
Golden goes earlier there to the Cowboys.
Yeah, and what's interesting is it does feel like that was one of the surprising things. I think the Cowboys have been tied very closely to Tetairo McMillan.
And Gray Zabel going to the Seahawks at 18. So there was a run on
offensive lineman. Got you.
One of my favorite ones is Pete Prisco, the guy everyone loves to hate, but he's just fun. And he's really good at mock drafts. He's been very, very good at mock drafts over the years, Pete Prisco.
I think, by the way, early on, I think that I'm ranking Breer over Bleacher Report.
Okay.
Yes.
That's your early case. Pick number 25, according to Pete Prisco, Donovan Jackson, the guy that wants to steal your soul
out of Ohio State.
Out of Ohio State would be the number 25.
By the way, Connerly and Jackson fit with the general mold of power conference teams. Donovan Jackson, a guy that they got a little intel in relatively recently, and I wonder if that is because in order to kind of, I used the word inoculate yesterday, and I know people going to get mad about it, but it's the one that comes to mind for me. I'm sorry. Inoculate you away from this potential of an offensive lineman run and give you an opportunity, if you stick and pick, to still get a talented player. And he profiles that. There's a lot of love for what he gives you when it comes to the strength and power profile. And
he has Connerly on the board and the Texans passing on him in favor of
the guard. Okay.
Also had Tet McMillan on the board. He has him going 29th overall to the Washington Commanders.
McMillan's an interesting one because, like I said, kind of big body guy and
measurables.
Yes. I mean,
Texans don't care about that.
They don't care about the testing. I do wonder, do they care? Not as much. That is fair. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make it seem as though they throw that out the window. I do wonder how much that matters or how much duplicity matters.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was a very good question asked of Nick Caserio about, like, you know, the ways in which, especially in the wide receiver room when he was there in New England, that they had guys that kind of seemed like they overlapped in talent and that did not, scare them away.
Yeah.
But you have big body wide receiver, and who does that make you think of on this Texans team?
That would be Nico Collins.
Right? Like, does that at all, you know, scare them away
at
any
way? That doesn't bother me, but it might scare them away.
Yeah, especially with, I think a lot of people that have wanted a weapon for this team are like, give me a speed guy that can kind of take the top off, especially in the absence of Tank Dell.
Lance Zuerlein, his final mock draft.
NFL.com.
Ashton Jeanty going to the Jaguars. Kelvin Banks at 6.
That's happening a lot, which kind of sucks because he seems like a guy that very much fits a lot of the stuff that this Texas team likes. But okay.
And the Houston Texans drafting? Donovan Jackson, interior line. So that's 2 for Connerly, 2 for Jackson.
Okay.
In the final draft.
And neither of those are the guys that that Daniel Jeremiah said were, you know, the guys that they're kind of locking in on in Tyler Booker out at Bama, and then Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas, although for lack of availability in some
and
ways.
He also has them passing on Josh Connerly, who he also has going to the Philadelphia Eagles. How about Peter Schrager?
Okay, now of ESPN.
Yeah, now of ESPN. The top of the board, by the way, is pretty much the same on all these. Also, Jeanty going to the Jaguars at 5. Membu going to the Raiders at 6. As far as the Houston Texans.
Membu to the Raiders.
To the Raiders. As far as the Texans at 25 overall, Donovan Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this the late push seems to have like Donovan Jackson, a guy who they talked to relatively late in the process. Not saying that they didn't talk to him or have any ideas on him, but the just when we know, because I always try and be careful. When we learn things isn't necessarily when things happen, but from our perspective, it does seem like okay. Let's take a look at this Donovan Jackson. He pops up in 3 of the what 5 that we talked about.
And the other 2 are Connerly.
Yeah.
So the final one would be Daniel Jeremiah's final mock draft. And
I guess he hasn't taken Booker, right?
Well, hold on, because he said he would take him if he's there.
Yeah.
That they would take him if he's there.
Uh-oh.
Top of his draft also has the usual suspects, so to speak, although he's got the Patriots moving up 1 spot ahead. That's right. He has Jacksonville Jaguars drafting Jeanty. For the Texans at 25 overall, Tyler Booker.
Okay, yeah.
Tyler Booker drafted right there. So apparently he does have him there when the Texans draft. Interestingly, passing on Donovan Jackson at guard. Yeah, he's got him going at 28 to the Lions, and Josh Connerly passing on him as well. So how are we liking these? Final look, final draft, final intel.
I've said it before. I like Josh Connerly a lot. I like all of these players to some degree, and I think that for me is why I keep coming back to the idea of I don't know that you absolutely need to jump up unless you're. When Casario did say that he has a smaller board than I think most teams would have, unless you just have it to where you have maybe 3 guys that you're like, we really like these guys, and they are a level above these other guys that I think could fit in this space and do the jobs that they are looking for. And you start seeing those guys go trading up. But otherwise, I think that stick and pick is a possibility or probably could be a possibility here because I think the Connerly, I think he fits in nicely with what you still are trying to do in adding some competition, although he is a tackle. But I think there's guys you could play inside. Yeah. Or, getting Donovan Jackson or Tyler Booker and going and saying interior offensive line, we're making sure that we get this right, which although that would fit in with early, we heard, work from the inside out, fix this offensive line from the inside out. That would fit in there. And help you, protect CJ and start running the football better and then move on. And you still have an opportunity to get some wide receivers that I think can give you what you're looking for in speed later on, either in the second or third round.
I'm actually fine with either of these scenarios, to be honest. Like, I'm fine with the stick and pick. And like Reggie said, if Casario have a small board and you want to just kind of get rid of those other picks to kind of move up to get the guy you really want and a couple other guys, I'm actually fine with that too, man, because I feel like they're in a different space where this is not a rebuild. They need to get like some people that can play right now.
You know what I got out of this? And maybe this is just me, being weird. The final, it's still lying season until the pick is made, but the final intel you get is generally stuff that these writers get
today
from the building.
Well,
the building.
As much as you can believe that they get it from this building.
As much as you can get. And it seems like the Texans are putting out a lot of Connerly and a lot of Donovan Jackson, which tells me Might not be Connerly. Might not be Jackson.
They might be smokescreening, you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
713 said, boo that, Reggie. You won't find 4-2 speed in later rounds. But again, remember, I don't think that this team cares as much about that particular 4-2, right?
Yeah.
Look at who is playing opposite Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter, right? Mm-hmm. It's about that tape and what you can get. And I'm not saying that the tape on Matthew Golden is bad by any means. That would be asinine and stupid. But I do
not
think...
Not just asinine.
And stupid. No, those both. It has to be both of those. But I do think the offensive line matters in a good degree here, and I do think that you can find someone like Kyle Williams, who they've talked to, or even Savion Williams to some degree, that that do some of those things that you're looking for later. But yeah, Donovan Jackson, I kind of like that, especially because I've seen him both profiled as a guard or a tackle, and that's one of the things we were talking about with Kelvin Banks. You can start him at guard, move him out of tackle. Similar, it does feel like you could probably do that similarly with Donovan Jackson. So. I think it was one of my confessions last week that I don't know that I see like a true nightmare scenario in the space, even if you stick and pick. But we'll see how it lands later on today. But that's an interesting look there.
Yeah.
Could be smoke screens. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping. Let's salute the Astros for getting a sweep over Toronto. First time in a decade. We'll talk about that and more next.
Look at you.
Let's get into what's popping
here.
On a Thursday, an NFL draft Thursday, a tied first round series Thursday, and a 5-6 wins Astros Thursday as well. That's right. The Astros got a sweep of the Toronto Blue Jays here at Daikin last night with a 3-1 victory. And what was the most what was the most interesting thing for you, or what was the most encouraging thing for you in this game? Or maybe you can go even go for the entirety of the series.
No, homestand.
You got a whole homestand. All right. Homestand, which again, 5-6.
Yeah. So yeah, what impressed me the most in this homestand, and I'm also gonna ask you guys, what do you think might of these things that have been impressive in the homestand might be most sustainable? I mean, there's a lot of candidates that, that impressed me the most. You want to go just individual? I mean, Hunter Brown. I mean, that dude is so good right now. So impressive. Is it 24 consecutive innings, scoreless innings?
That is correct.
That I think he individually, he stands out. But, like, what impressed me is just, and we knew this going in, is Christian Walker responding. You know, Christian Walker sort of figuring it out and just getting it done again. I got to tell you, Ryan Gusto was pretty damn impressive too.
He sure was.
I mean, pretty damn impressive.
Which
that guy wasn't even supposed to be here.
I think that, I mean, the Hunter Brown, obviously I love it. You got ace type stuff. In fact, if I will take, can I take you to MLB.com where Andrew Simon put together the third iteration of his starting pitcher power rankings. Where do you think Hunter Brown lands as a starting pitcher in MLB?
I'm thinking of some guys that have had some good start. He can't be lower than 3.
Paul Skeens, 1. He's a monster.
Sure.
Garrett Crochet, 2. Fair enough. Logan Webb, 3. Tarek Skubal. I mean, he's coming off of Cy Young. 4. Hunter Green with the Reds is 5. And he's a really fun watch for me personally. And coming in at number 6.
6, okay.
Hunter Brown.
Okay.
That is before Yamamoto, Pavetta, Logan Gilbert, Cole Reagans, like even Chris Bassett, who you were able to take a little bit to the woodshed, right? He is being looked at when it comes to power rankings, dudes who are performing right now as a top 10 pitcher right now, and like he ain't 10.
Yeah.
Like that has been such a great development. But one that I think you could have seen coming, the one that I, and circling back around to what you said, the one that I did not necessarily see coming is Ryan Gusto being a guy who can step in for you as, in some ways, your sixth starter right now, because that was the thing I was scared about. That was the thing that had me praying every night for Lance McCullers Jr. and Luis Garcia. Luis Garcia, who during this...
did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, I put him in my prayers.
Yeah, okay.
Why not?
Okay, why not?
I work in sports, man. You don't think I'm rooting for myself? Give me something to talk about with the Astros being good. Yes, I'm praying for this.
Yeah.
But yes, like the idea that those guys get healthy soon, because I was like, if you get an injury, I don't know how you sustain it. I don't know if you go in and call him AJ Blue Ball up and feeling good about it. And Ryan Gusto was like, don't worry, dog. I got you on 5. I got you on 6. He went, what, 5-2/3 last time?
Yeah, he's into the 6th inning.
Right. So, I think that has been the one thing that's been super encouraging is that you're getting, like, great starting pitching out of the guys that you knew you would. Really good starting pitching out of some of the guys that you had some questions, like Ronel Blanco, thankfully, this time around, found him a little bit of stability. And then also, you got Ryan Gusto stepping up to the, like, I will stretch out and then just fill in on these times around. Not just one time, not two times, three times around. I got you. Don't worry about it. That's been deeply encouraging as well.
But despite all that, Reggie, that's not, to me, the thing that's most encouraging and sustainable. And you may be, you just touched on one of the reasons I think this is the most impressive thing with this Astros from the homestand and really the season. This bullpen, man, this bullpen is just crushing it. And when you get a McCullers Jr. back, when you get some of these other pitchers back, and Gusto might, you know, I don't know where he's going to end up, but maybe, you know, in the bullpen, et cetera.
Yeah, I think he'll slide back into the pen.
The depth of the bullpen is already really good, and it's going to get better.
Hey, shout out to Brian King, man.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out to Brian King.
One pitch a couple days ago, and then he came in for one pitch in the eighth and then finished out the ninth. Like, hey, man, shout out. Oh, not ninth, but yeah, the eighth, right? Came in the seventh, finished out the eighth is what I meant to say, because a Hater came in and he did the thing. But he got the win. The win. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I know you mentioned him. You said his name, but I feel like his name deserves to be said again. Shout out to Christian Walker, who are you willing to say that Christian Walker is cool now? Like, we have gotten out of the wilderness. Have we escaped?
I'm getting there, right? I don't know if we can necessarily say 100%, but you could not be more impressed with how he responded, how he's handled these last two or three games, because that's what he is. We knew he'd come in, and guy's a leader. He's a pro. He works like crazy. He's been productive. And all of a sudden, he's figured something out. I think he's getting there. I think it might be a little early to say problem solved, but I think he's getting there. But I can't say enough about the prospects of this bullpen. You know, the Astros have kind of, and this kind of occurred to me over the last couple of days, they're kind of becoming a throwback team. You know, they have really good pitching, starting pitching, really good bullpen, not the best power. I think they're like 12th, 13th in the MLB, something like that. But timely hitting. Like, here's the thing. They're still not scoring. Well, they have in particular games. But, you know, their offense still has some spots in it where you're like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, timely. So timely hitting, great pitching, great bullpen, and not necessarily overwhelming power. That's like 80s baseball. You know, that's like 80s, 90s baseball.
Also worth noting that the Rangers lost their game last night as well. They'll be playing tonight in Sacramento versus the A's, but you are one game back of the AL West lead, and things are back going in the right direction. So, yes, I'm very, very excited for what the Astros have. They'll get going against the Royals. I almost called them the Rangers. The Royals starting tomorrow.
Hey, a little bit of good news. Kansas City's game yesterday got rained out. They're playing a doubleheader today.
Hey!
While the Astros rest.
That is fantastic.
So their bullpen could get worked a little bit.
Yes, and I almost feel bad saying this because I feel like every time I say his name, I might be calling some things into question. But Lance McCullers also is expected to, or the thought is that he might get another rehab start this weekend after a little bit of a stomach thing.
Stay tuned for Buy or Sell.
Okay, that's a little bit of what we call in the business a tease, ladies and gentlemen. That is a tease. No tease here when you talk about, well, I guess, let me start here. Shout out to Kelvin Sampson and the entirety of the UH Cougars basketball team. Had a little celebration at the Fertitta Center yesterday. A lot of things happening in the city of Houston. That, obviously, the Astros were going. The Rockets obviously getting a win at Toyota Center. Kendrick Lamar played NRG Stadium. A lot of things popping.
How was that?
Yesterday. I heard nothing but great things. Yeah. I didn't go, clearly. I was more locked in on Rockets and Astros. But our guy Chewy from Mix 96, he was saying that he went, and the Dana Cortez show, I should say. Yeah. And he went, and he said that the performance was great. A lot of pyro, interesting, pyrotechnics, and just a great performance where it seems like Kendrick and SZA basically performed themselves with nobody else, like, opening or what have you, for like 2, maybe 3 hours, something like that. I was like, that sounds fantastic.
It's not SZA.
Man. No, it's typically people pronounce it as SZA. I thought that was a sincere question. I don't know why.
No, I knew that. I don't know a lot, but I knew that.
Yes, and fair enough, Ocho. 3 runs on 13 hits is not ideal. I'm just happy that you got 13 hits. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. As I mentioned, Astros won 5 of their last 6. Christian Walker with the 3-run blast early. I just am willing to go. Everything's coming up Milhouse. and live with that right now. And also salute to the Houston Dynamo, who have added another player. Remember, early on in the season, we were talking to our guy, Ben Olsen.
Keep him coming, baby.
And he was like, look, man, he was basically saying, the team's not done yet. We will, you know, kind of, we'll get better. We'll add more. We need to. And early on, it looked like it, and you're seeing, right? Mm-hmm. They added you know, attacking players. I know they added Andre Linger, I believe is how his name is pronounced. And now, Toyosi Olusanya, who is from a Scottish club called St. Mirren, he is a forward. So they're adding in some help, so hopefully they can start climbing the table. So shout
out. They need to put the ball in the basket.
What was that?
They need to put the ball in the basket.
What basket?
The net.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were just like forgetting. I thought he was doing the thing where he accidentally crossed over.
No. Like when, they need to hoop.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
See, that
they need
works.
To play in the first quarter.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
That's right. From the 832s, Coward said, Amen Thompson has a history of over-aggressive play. All right, dog. Are we really doing this?
Amen hadn't really gone off yet.
Yeah.
A lot of fouls early yesterday.
He was doing a great job, and we'll talk more about this here in a second because we'll circle back around to some of the things that we noted in a Rockets 109-94 victory over the Golden State Warriors to tie the series at 1-1. They head back to San Francisco to play on Saturday. That one's on ABC, so we won't get Ackerman and Hollins and Space City Home Network. But, yeah, man, I thought that I enjoyed Tari quite a bit in that game. I enjoyed Amen, especially because I enjoyed the offensive principle of we're going to attack, but we're also going to play make off of these attacks. Yeah. Obviously, Jalen was huge in that. Alperin found his way in there as well. And they were doing a great job passing off of once the Warriors thought that, oh, this team is committed to taking this shot.
Yeah.
They dump the ball off, find the dunker spot, find the back cuts. And I think that started up the game really well for them early. So, yeah, excited for what's happening in Houston, man. Houston sports is on a great vibe and opportunity to get even greater as the NFL draft gets going. Tonight, you'll hear that starting at 6 o'clock is when Texans radio gets going, and 7 o'clock is when the picking starts right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's actually circle back around to those Rockets. Obviously, Jalen Green had a trademark night. Is that sustainable? We'll talk about that and more from the Rockets' victory next.